I think we can all agree that one of the ugliest things about living in a beautiful city like Cape Town is peak hour traffic. And I mean, if you look abroad, one of the solutions of dodging traffic and making transit easier is the e-scooter. You might have seen them around town as they are becoming more and more popular in South Africa. And I'm talking about those, you know, those little electric scooters that look like a skateboard with a handle attached to them. I'm sure you've seen them, man. Now, we're seeing kids and adults alike zipping about, you know, on them. And in the United States, by the way, they're actually being hired out to people who want to get out and about without the hassle of sitting in traffic. But what does the law say about them? Some cities have banned them from pavements and require that they be operated on roads like, you know, normal bikes on the road. And there have been reports of horrific and fatal accidents involving e-scooter users. And here in Cape Town, by the way, we see many youngsters riding on pavements and in traffic without an actual helmet. There is a perception that these are just toys, you know, like your, a skateboard or kid's bicycle. But these are not. These are potentially very dangerous. And this is a growing trend in South Africa. But what do we understand about this? Well, we are joined this morning by Jesse Hafan, who is an automotive and products liability attorney in Michigan. Jesse, a very good morning to you. Thank you so very much for joining us in conversation.
Thanks for having me, Alex.
So when did e-scooters start becoming popular in the United States?
Well, the popularity really exploded early last year in 2018 when these dockless rental scooters just appeared in cities like San Francisco and Los Angeles and then Detroit. And so these companies just put out these scooters that you could basically unlock with a smartphone and a credit card and just without any other technology or any other system, just jump onto the scooter, ride it wherever you want it, and then leave it, you know, wherever you chose, and just walk away without any other issues. And so now we've seen them spread to many more cities across the United States, dozens and dozens of cities and throughout Europe and Paris and Hamburg. And now people are starting to purchase the scooters and use them for their own personal use now that they've experienced them.
It seems that there are some safety concerns around these e-scooters, but also it also feels like there's a gray area when it comes to the law. Why is that?
Well, I think as you mentioned in your introduction that, you know, for many, many years, these were just, you know, a scooter was just considered a little kid's toy. I mean, you just kicked it, you know, a couple of wheels and adults never really used them for serious transportation. But then, you know, batteries became much cheaper, as we're seeing with you know, even larger vehicles like electric cars. And, the motor came onto the electric scooter. And so, you know, what happened was, you know, not many states or cities had any laws on the books for these vehicles because there are, you know, a vehicle with a motor and no pedals, they're not a bicycle. But because they're small and lightweight, they're not really a motorcycle or a moped. And so they're either overrated or underregulated, and you know it's created sort of you know a lot of issues here for lawmakers who had never you know seen anything like this. And so you know what we're starting to see now is that a lot of states and cities and provinces are creating new laws around these vehicles. But you know it's very challenging because not only are they a new kind of you know form factor or vehicle, but they're also, again, like I said, many of them are just these dockless rented vehicles, so there's not even a real owner. So if someone doesn't park them or just leaves them on the side of the street, you know, cities have to decide how they're going to deal with that kind of behavior with someone who's not even concerned about the vehicle being stolen or left, you know, left in the middle of the road.
Jesse, though, if we talk about these things, it simply means that even a teenager, a 13-year-old teenager can get in one of these things and travel. If we had to regulate them, surely perhaps that's where the conversation starts and saying that, you know, there must be a minimum age where you can ride this thing.
Yeah, I think the minimum age is certainly a good starting point. Like you said, there's a lot of safety concerns. I'm talking about this because they're, you know, many of them are rented, you know, a lot of people are not wearing helmets because you just walk up to this, you don't have a helmet on you and you just can kind of take off and go. So that's one concern. Another is that, you know, a lot of these scooters have very small wheels. They're not really designed yet for, you know, commercial use on large roadways to be driven right next to large, you know, cars and trucks. And so they can't really handle potholes or roads that are in poor condition, whereas a bicycle can easily manage, you know, a small pothole or a crack. Many of these scooters are not able to do that, at least not yet. You know, as they come to become, you know, more well-developed, you might see that. But, you know, one of the things that I think, you know, cities need to do is put in, you know, some minimum restrictions on who can ride them, because they are, they can be very dangerous, and where they can be ridden, and, you know, at what times. You know, nighttime riding might not be appropriate, or riding at certain parts of the of a city might not be appropriate, depending on, you know, which city it is and who you think will be riding them. But it's an area where we're starting to see a lot of different cities making lots of different rules. So hopefully as time passes, we'll start to see which of these rules are the best, and hopefully we can develop, you know, some good standards and consensus to, so that everybody can kind of ride these safely and everybody can be happy with kind of where we stand.
You're listening to the voice of J.C. Halfen, who is an automotive and products liability attorney out in Michigan, and we're talking about e-scooters. These are the small scooters that one might mistake them for a skateboard with a handle, but they are a seemingly a growing problem or solution. They're a solution and a problem at the same time. So in cities out, as you're listening to J.C. out there in the States, you know, these have seen people getting into serious accidents, but these are also good for dodging traffic. The problem here is that there needs to be regulatory laws to govern these sort of things. But how do you go about doing that? That is the question this morning, and we're hoping that Jesse will shed some light for us. Even though he's in the States, this may have implications for us here in the Western Cape. Jesse, then, very quickly from your side, what should parents, road users be aware of when considering buying or hiring an e-scooter?
Well, if you're just renting a scooter, I think really the most important thing is to take it slow. You know, only use them on sidewalks or roads that you're familiar with, that you're comfortable with, and that you think are safe or in good condition. And you want to take it slow. If you're really thinking about buying a scooter, I think you want to make sure you're buying something from a reputable manufacturer, because these are things that also have a battery that needs to be plugged in and charged, so you need to be concerned about things like battery fires. And the other thing that I think people should really think about is that maintenance for something like an electric scooter is a lot more difficult and potentially costly than just, say, a bicycle, where you can just go to your local bike shop, or you might even be able to do it yourself. So I purchased one of these myself just to see, you know, how it was and what it would be like to own one. And I've had to change the tire. It's very difficult. It's much more difficult than, say, a bicycle. You need different tools and different expertise. So, you know, you're going to end up on YouTube or other, you know, the internet looking for solutions if something goes wrong or something breaks. So you really have to follow the Latin phrase, caveat emptor, and buyer beware if you're going to buy a scooter for the first time.
Jesse, listen, thank you so very much for taking the time to chat to us this morning. A very good morning to you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. That is Jesse Halfen, products and liability attorney out in Michigan.